Welcome to Rangers Blue Line, covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
We are back. Welcome to Rangers Blue Line. Brian Compton here with you in Midtown Manhattan. I'll be joined by Pat Leonard, the Rangers beat writer from the Daily News, in just a few minutes. Joining me now in the studio are my friends Nick Lacalzi and Adam Rotter. Fellas, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's nice to see you.
What do you mean you can't believe you're saying it?
I don't like you very much.
Well, I guess I could see that coming.
It's nice that we're all together again because it means that there's something to talk
about.
There
we go. See, I should have asked you guys how I should have opened the show.
That said, I'm not crazy about either of you two either.
So. Upcoming draft this weekend. The Rangers don't pick until the third round, so we're not going to talk a whole lot about prospects. There are going to be some trades, possibly, including the one that included Keith Yandle to Florida. Big news regarding the SNY.TV hockey podcast channel. The Islanders and Rangers podcast are now officially in two separate feeds. So if you want to access only the Rangers shows, please search SNY.TV Rangers in iTunes and subscribe to the Rangers podcast channel. If you want to access the rest of SNY.TV's original shows on the Rangers, Islanders, Mets, Jets, Knicks, and college basketball and recruiting, subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network, which you can find on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Nick is smiling, and I don't know why. I figured he'd be completely devastated. Keith Yandle to the Florida Panthers for a sixth-round pick and a conditional fourth-rounder in 2017. Should he sign with Florida? I think he will. His brother is a scout for Florida, so there's a tie there. And plus, no state income tax down there. He's going to sign a sweet deal. Can golf year-round. It's a really good team on the rise. What do you think, Nick?
It seems like all signs are pointing to him staying there.
Are you okay?
It's a tough loss for the Rangers, but the writing has been on the wall. You know, I thought they would try and make a move to find a way to keep him, but with the way things are shaping up, if they make a big move, I think it's going to be on the forward end as opposed to creating the salary cap space to keep Keith Yandle. It's going to be a big loss. I'm not on the ledge like a lot of Rangers fans think the world is over because we lost Keith Yandle. He's a great defenseman. He was terribly misused by Vigneault. That's why I don't think it's as tremendous as a loss as it would be, because usage-wise, the Rangers aren't going to miss a ton of minutes and a ton of production from Yandle.
Keith Yandle has his faults. He's a turnover machine at times in his own end of the ice, which makes Henrik Lundqvist's life a living hell sometimes. Having said that, the last show that we did, Adam, when we had Craig Button on, he was talking about how the Rangers need to get faster on the blue line. Losing Keith Yandle, if they don't, unless Brady Shea is a replacement, which he could be, there's going to be growing pains with Shea, as poised as he looked for the brief time that he was here. But how does this make Lundqvist's life any easier without Keith Yandle?
Well, I think Shea is definitely the replacement for Yandle, but we're now also in the position of who's going to replace Dan Boyle. That could be someone who's really fast. I think that any move that they make, and I'm sure we'll talk about Nash and Stefan as we move forward here, but I think that's where they're going to look to get a defenseman. I don't know how that all fits in with the salary cap and Girardi install, but I do think that they have one to two more moves to make on defense, because they're not going to go in. If they go in as constructed right now, I can't imagine that anyone's going to be that excited about the Rangers.
If they go in as constructed right now, it's a disaster. But the Rangers, they don't have many prospects. Their two top prospects, or two of their top three, are Shea and McElrath. They both play defense. So seeing them inserted into the lineup, which, I mean, hopefully Dylan McElrath has earned his right to be a top six defenseman, I think we'll see Staal moved this offseason. I personally would be shocked if they don't make a play to try and trademark Staal or buy out Dan Girardi. I think it's one or the other. And then when you take the defense as a whole, when you have Shea speed, when you have one of the guys that they're going to get in one of these trades, they're offering some big name players and McElrath in there for Boyle. I don't think the defense is in as bad of shape as people make it out to
but
be.
But if they trademark Staal, who are they getting in return?
Right now, again,
you're not going to get a guy who's going to help you immediately.
It's not, to me,
that's more a move to dump salary,
yes.
Right?
To me, it's three moves that all coordinate with each other. And we'll get, I'll just bring up my big point on defense, which is that I think that whether they move Staal or not, I think the guy that they should get, and it involves trading Derek Stefan, yes, is Jonas Brodin from Minnesota. He's the guy who I think immediately, he's young. He immediately helps you rebuild your defense along with Ryan McDonough.
I think this, if Derek Stepan is traded, that's the guy who goes, and the key player coming back for Derek Stepan, in my eyes, is going to be a top four defenseman, whether it's Brodin or somebody else. I think that's the reason why Derek Stepan's going to be going to get traded, is to replace a defenseman and to clear cap space for Steven Stamkos.
This is such a tough puzzle to fill because if you trade Stepan, then who's playing? I mean, unless it's Stamkos.
That's the only way I see Stepan getting traded is if they think they are 100% in the running for Steven Stamkos.
I think that for Stamkos, you have to move Nash first. You have to move Stephon
first. There's so many things I have to do.
And, look, we don't know what's going to happen this weekend. Right. But I'll say this. I think that I don't necessarily want them to trade Stephon. But if they can get someone who can really help the defense get back to where it was a few years ago, you do that. And you keep Brassard. And then you definitely go after Stamkos. But I think that it's not popular, but two other options to be your second line center. If you don't think Kevin Hayes can be that guy, you bring back Eric Staal if you want on a short term deal.
Oof.
He's not going to, I don't think he'd cost a lot.
Right.
And if he stinks, you can leave him unprotected next year. And I think Sam Gagne is a UFA, and he's a really interesting player. He's talented. He's never been as good as being the fifth overall pick, but I think that those are options on the second or third tier behind the Stamkos option.
I know Stepan's name is in play here. I'm just not crazy about trading a two-way center who can get 50 to 60 points.
The only way I see him going is if the Rangers have
prime
tea leaves that say that Stamkos wants to be wearing Broadway blue.
You have to know you're
yes,
getting Steven
100%.
Stamkos before you can trade Eric Stepan.
And if that's the case, then Gorton can very quickly revamp the Rangers, because you're going to get a very nice package for Stepan. And if you bring in Stamkos, yes, he's going to eat a big chunk of salary. You get better at your top center position as well.
It's
tricky.
I agree with you guys, and I don't disagree that you only trade Stepan if you think you're going to get Stamkos. Because I've been the one who said that when the Rangers go after a guy, they get a guy.
Sure, yeah.
And so if they can get the space for Stamkos, I think that they probably will get him. I don't know that they're going to have enough time to get that space. But I think you also have to look at how are you going to improve your team, and you have to move certain guys. And I love Derek Stepan, but he's the guy who's probably their second most valuable asset behind Ryan McDonagh, who can get you pieces to hopefully make you a contender again.
See, to me, unless you know, again, that you're going to get a guy like Stamkos to trade Stepan, then it just signals a rebuild, and you can't rebuild when Lundqvist is going to be 35.
I can't see them trading Stepan without knowing. And you don't want to say they know, but unless they know, I don't see Derek Stepan getting traded. Again, and maybe they're getting a center back for Nash, and that's some way that they're going to work it. But to me, the roundabout way to tie everything together is going to be Nash to get as many prospects and picks, and probably you're going to have to bring back some money. My guess is a third or fourth line forward. Staal, if you could get a third line forward for some, if some team really wants a defenseman, I mean, I don't know if Staal would wait for Edmonton, but if you're talking a Yakupov value and a deal for Staal, and then Stepan goes for a defenseman and a pick and maybe another prospect, the Rangers have rebuilt the team.
Adam, I know you're all over this because you're scoping Twitter all day long. What team and what player makes the most sense if Rick Nash gets traded?
I don't know.
All right.
Because it seems like there are teams like Nashville who are, you know, people are just throwing teams out. No one's been directly connected. There's always the St. Louis connection because of Hitchcock. But Hitchcock's out in a year.
Yep.
I'm not sure he necessarily fits, you know, in St. Louis as they seem to be transitioning to try and go younger. I think that Nashville's interesting. I think Anaheim could be interesting. Montreal, I don't think Rick Nash wants anything to do with Montreal because he does have some say in the matter of where he goes. I think San Jose is interesting. He gets to play with Joe Thornton. What the Rangers get back, though, I don't know. I think you're looking at a young forward, a decent prospect, and maybe a guy like for, when you look at Nashville, and I don't know who Nashville could give back, but I see the Rangers getting back Colin Wilson in that deal. He
really
makes $3.7 million. It's a deal that offsets salary a little bit. The Rangers still get an NHL player and then maybe something else in return for Nash. That's, I feel like they're going to take back a bigger salaried player than people expect.
I think they're going to have to.
I think, again, it's another situation where it comes down to, do you eat $2 million to not take on money, or do you do you take back a $3 or $4 million player and then not eat money? It's one or the other. Gorton has his handful. I can't imagine the amount of, if he has charts planning out his offseason, the amount of different ones he have, because you could probably fill an entire office with different routes the Rangers can take. And how does he tie them all back together if he doesn't to get the guys that he wants?
We have Pat Leonard on the phone. Pat, BC, how are you, buddy?
Brian, great to talk to you, man. Thanks for having me.
Likewise. How's the family, my friend?
Terrific. Dylan's 2 months today.
God bless.
My first, our son, so he's doing great. Thanks.
Congratulations. That's great news. Keith Yandel got some news on Monday, headed to Florida, or at least his rights anyway. How does this affect the Rangers as far as Jeff Gorton's offseason plans are concerned?
I think, it was done this early because clearly the number that the Rangers knew Yandel was going to require was way above what they were willing to pay, definitely over $6 million, you have to assume.
Yeah.
And I know, and what I wrote today too, I know that Rangers fans hate seeing this because by the end of last season, Yandel ended up being one of their more valuable players.
Yeah.
So you kind of look at it and you say, well, on a struggling defense, how do you let this guy go? The problem is that they were only paying him, as $2.6
right.
million of his $5.2 million salary. Arizona was eating the other half. So the only reason he fit on their team financially in the first place was because of that previous deal. So they would have been going from paying him $2.5 million to over $6 million. And the way that this team is structured right now, you have some other really big contracts. I do think that getting rid of Yandel makes sense in the way that they're expecting Brady Shea to step into the left side. So on the right side, they need more of an upgrade. I do think they need a puck mover like Yandel.
They have to.
But
yep.
One they don't have to pay like him.
We were talking about Jonas Brodin at the start of the show. Obviously, Derek Stepan's name has been mentioned. Do you see the Rangers trading Stepan? And is there a match there in Minnesota?
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. Stepan has a full no trade in years 3 and 4 of his contract, and then a 15-team limited no trade in years 5 and 6. But right now, he does not have any of those clauses preventing a deal. And $6.5 million is a very high cap hit number, as is Rick Nash's $7.8 million. And, I think this about Stepan and Broussard. I think a lot of people believe, too, that they're both very good players, but neither of them is that surefire number
right.
one day-in, day-out center. And so, it's tough, though, because Stepan has been the guy who, he scored some really big goals
yeah.
to this team. He's a winner. He blocks shots. He plays both ways. So if you're going to trade him, you're mentioning guys, you're mentioning a name like Brodin. Like, you're not giving up Derek Stepan for anything less than a huge return, because he's going to play most games, and he's going to play very well, and he's going to improve the team he goes to. So you have to get better, too.
And that's if they get Brodin, that's great. But then how does that affect the Rangers up front? Do they re-sign Eric Staal on a, $2 million contract? What do you think, Pat?
There's no way
no
Eric
way,
Staal
huh?
comes back to the
okay.
Rangers. But the only reason I say that is because it's not really – well, first of all, it looked like he's lost the step, obviously.
Right.
And it did before they got him. But also, he was totally disenfranchised with how they misused him when they brought Eric Staal here. I know, they used him incorrectly. They played him on the wing. They forced him into a line with Hayes. It never took. It's tough watching the Rangers in this situation right now, of course, too, Brian, because last year, especially the beginning of the year when Henrik was the only thing preventing them from being in the basement,
yeah.
it looked like they should start this quote-unquote rebuild on the fly early, like start it last fall or in the winter or going up to last year's trade deadline. But they climbed out of it enough, and with Lundqvist in his prime, basically, fans didn't want the team to trade Yandel at the deadline because he was one of their better players by that point. But you sit here now and fans say, well, we got nothing for Yandel in this trade. Well, this is the price of keeping him and trying to win as opposed to trading him and planning for the future, which, last year, even especially in December, I was writing, this team really needs to get rid of some dead weight here and kind of not give up on the season, but understand that you can get better for next year, maybe improve a little bit more, get more return in some deals. Unfortunately, they made the decision to go for it, and look, if it had worked out, we wouldn't be criticizing them. Obviously, it went up in flames, and now that's why we're here.
Don't they have to continue to go for it as long as Lundqvist is still the Lundqvist that we all know? I mean, he's going to be 35 next year, Pat.
Yeah, no, you know, Brian, I think you're
it's
right.
It's such a tough spot.
No, it really is. And that was why kind of I broached the idea a couple, maybe a week or two ago of, look, Lundqvist has a full no-move clause, so he controls his destiny. But it's kind of tough because as long as you have him and he's your best player every year, you're kind of locked into that course.
Yeah.
And it's also a delicate situation because if Lundqvist sees that you're planning for 3 years down the road as opposed to trying to win every year, then he has a window and a clock that's ticking. So is this where he would want to be?
Right.
It's a pretty tricky situation. And that's why I think that a lot rides on this season as far as Lundqvist, in the sense that some teams rebuild and they know that they're going to stink 1 year, but it's going to be for the future. As you're saying, that is not where the Rangers are right now. They're looking to, like, look at the Penguins, for example. The Penguins have some star players, but they also incorporated a lot of young guys who,
Rust,
you know, they're
Kuhnhackl.
Playing in the Cup Final. They can't put, Sheary,
yep.
Rust, you know, Kuhnhackl, all
Ryan
these guys.
Dolan was fantastic. And you know what else we learned from these finals, Pat? And this is not a knock on Hank. I mean, he deserves every penny that he gets. You don't have to spend $7 or $8 million on a goalie to win. You just don't.
Exactly, Brian. And, you know, it's tough to say that because, again, like, you don't want to diminish what Lundqvist has done.
Right.
And also, you know, if the Rangers, score a couple overtime goals in 2014 against L.A., you know, maybe we're talking about a cup-winning team here, and, you know, it's easy to say that. But the fact is, you know, I mean, you go even over to the NBA. I mean, LeBron wins Game 7. If he loses that, we're all talking right now about how he'll never get it done in Cleveland, but now everybody's talking about the fulfilled destiny, and, you know, it's just that you either win or you lose. It could be the difference of one game, one quarter, one shot. But the Rangers haven't gotten it done, and now they're in this really tough spot.
Last question before I let you go, Pat. Rick Nash, what happens with him?
I am pretty confident he's going to be traded. What would have to happen is the Rangers, he has a limited no trade, so he would have a list of teams. You know, I would say to watch teams out west. I had mentioned St. Louis if Shattenkirk was in play. Yeah, I know the Oilers and Bruins are now making calls on Shattenkirk, which makes sense. The Bruins need a D. But, you know, I do think that the Rangers, even though they lost Yandle, want a puck-moving defenseman like Yandle. And Shattenkirk on the right side would fit what they need. Of course, he'll be due a big contract after this season, like an extension, so I don't know if it'll necessarily be a fit. But for Nash, also don't rule out San Jose. He has a great relationship and friendship with Joe Thornton, and they're both getting older, but both still competitive players who give teams fits. That wouldn't shock me if he went to San Jose for some picks and prospects. But that's a lot, you know, that's kind of informed speculation, if I could say that. But
I do think
his $7.8 million cap hit has to mean that he's a likely chip to move.
But would they have to take a lousy contract in return?
I hear what you're saying. I guess maybe if it was an easy one to buy out and not take a huge penalty, but you know, you would try to limit that because you're basically getting rid of him because of his contract. Like if Nash made $4.5 million right now, you wouldn't even think of it.
Like, are they almost better off keeping him?
This is kind of like, you know, look at the Yandle dilemma last year.
Right.
Coming up to the deadline, it's like, well, if they had traded him before this past deadline, the team would have gotten worse.
Yeah,
you know, for this past season, but it would have been the prudent move for getting maximum return on him.
Right.
And so you say, well, how can we trade him if it's going to make our team worse? And now we look like a team that might be able to contend. So the same thing applies to Nash now. It's kind of like, well, if we trade Rick Nash, probably our team suffers because he's a very good player. And even when he's not scoring, he's playing really hard two-way. He's a good influence on other guys in the locker room and all that. But is getting rid of that money and spreading it out a little bit the better move?
Right.
You know, I think you got to watch, too, like what they do with depth guys. Stahlberg may be a guy who they bring back. Jamie McGinn, is a depth guy that they may bring in. They've made calls on before in past seasons, so watch for him. And one last thing I want to say, too, no matter what they do or don't do on defense, one thing that's not being talked enough about is how much better Ryan McDonough needs to be.
Yep,
he, it's true. This guy needs to play at the level he played in 2014. That's who he's supposed to be. That's who he showed he could be. And no matter what they do this offseason, they need McDonough to have another one of those years.
He's going to need some help from Dan Girardi, right?
Well,
he can't do it by himself.
No, for sure. And that's a whole other conversation.
I know.
But you know, I think Girardi, too, is that's kind of that scenario where he's got the no-move clause, and you're hoping that this past year was an anomaly and not, and that this past year won't repeat itself. And then in the worst-case scenario, perhaps he ends up being a guy who is made available in an expansion draft.
Yeah.
And then maybe that is how you get rid of that salary if it doesn't go that way.
That's for another show. Pat, thanks so much. I really appreciate your time. Enjoy your family and enjoy your summer, my friend.
Thanks. You too, Brian. Take care, buddy.
See ya. Pat Leonard does a terrific job for the Daily News. I'm rejoined here by Nick and Adam. What do you guys think? He seems to think Stepan is in play. I'm very hesitant to see him go.
I will say it sounds like Gorton's doing a very good job keeping things close to the vest
for sure.
As far as who's actually in play, what he's expecting to get, what teams does he have on the line, who's biting. But eventually it's going to all come to fruition, and really it's got to happen in the next week or so. You know, the draft is coming up. If they're moving Stepan, if they're moving Nash, they're going to want draft picks for those guys. Free agency's right around the corner. If they're clearing cap space, it's got to be cleared. So the window's open for the Rangers to make their moves, and I expect the announcements to start coming this week.
What do you think the Islanders do, Adam?
I don't think they're going to sign Steven Stamkos.
I don't either.
For their sake, I hope they bring back Franz Nielsen, because if they lose Nielsen, Okposo,
he's the one guy
and
they
Martin,
can't afford to lose.
I mean, they're not going to be as good next year.
No question.
Mean, so I think that they're – I was actually thinking about them in relation to a certain player this morning, and now I can't remember who it was. But they're also a very interesting team to watch over the next few weeks, because they're also within a window, because they have John Tavares coming up in a couple
years. Yep.
They're going to want to, you know, continue to build around that and make sure they can keep them.
This is a huge offseason for Islanders general manager Gart Snow. You can check out the Islanders Point by podcast with myself and Mike Carver. We're going to discuss the upcoming NHL draft and the ongoing contract negotiations with Franz Nielsen. You can subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network to download Islanders Point Blank, as well as this show and the rest of our original podcast. Let's get back to the Rangers. They don't have a pick until the third round, so we won't see them at the podium Friday night, barring a trade. So not a whole lot going on in that department, but Jeff Gorton could still be very busy, Nick.
Yeah, he's been good in the third round lately. Duclair, Buchnevich, the third round's been his sweet spot, really. And I expect the Rangers to make a move that puts them in the draft on Friday night.
I tend to agree. I think that number 30 pick that Anaheim just got is kind of where the Rangers may end up. I don't know if it's for Nash. I've thought Chris Kreider would be a great fit out in Anaheim. I thought Chris Kreider for Sammy Vatanen would have been a tremendous deal. Sammy Vatanen has since resigned,
right,
making that tougher to do. But I think that there might still be something that could be worked around there. And I think that number 30 pick could be in play.
I think you're right. I think if they get back into the first round, it's Kreider or Kevin Hayes. What do you think? One of them.
Kreider's the one name that's come up a lot in rumors, especially on the internet and being around there and hearing names that people have been associating with the Rangers, that he's the guy that I don't think the Rangers should part with. The potential is just so huge
But it's like Craig Button said on our last show, guys. I think Chris Kreider, this is who Chris Kreider is. I don't think he's ever going to be that 35-goal guy that we all envision that he could become.
I've said before that I think I would move Kreider if I could get – I don't know. I think you have to do one thing first. You have to have one conversation with him and see, what are you interested in for a contract? If you're interested in $5 million for 5 years –
they can't pay him $5 million.
I don't know that you're doing that. If you're interested in a short-term deal because you want to become a UFA in 2 years, maybe we'll talk. But I think that they can still get a really good player, a young player for him that I think could help. And again, I'm thinking of a defenseman, not a forward, because you do have Pavel Buchnevich now, who can hopefully take Kreider's spot in the top six.
Well, that's a great point. And the other thing, guys, is I think it's vital that they get back into the first round. You can't trade first-round pick after first-round pick after first-round pick in the salary cap world and expect to compete every year. It's impossible.
I agree with you there, but I don't think trading Kreider for the 30th overall pick makes any sense. I mean, not that, that's all they would get for him, but to me, then you traded a former first-round pick for a first-round pick at the end of the draft. I mean, at that point, just
trade Klein for a second-round pick. Yeah, but if he's going to get $4.5 to $5 million,
who do you replace him with?
Buchnevich.
I don't think you trade Kreider for just the pick.
Yeah.
I think that if you're going to trade Kreider built around picks, you know, you probably look for a team with multiple second-round picks, and you get in early on Saturday, and maybe you get a prospect too. But to trade one guy, I don't know that they can trade anyone just for picks because you've brought up many times, Brian, you still want to be a contender. You still want to be a playoff team. So any deal you make has to be a look into the future, but also into next season too.
Friday night's the first round. Will the Rangers be active? Yes? No?
Yes. I expect at least two names to be gone by Friday.
Two names? Stepan and Nash?
I don't know if it'll be them. You would expect Stahl's name to be in the running. Is it Chris Kreider? I think there's a lot of stuff floating around that the Rangers are going to want to be active when the window opens to be talking to free agents. If Stepan's name is as prominently on the table as it's being written about, I have to think that the Rangers are going to be one of the first people at Steven Stamkos' door when the negotiation window opens.
I would think that the Rangers are active and will probably make at least one more deal before Saturday. But I couldn't tell you what it was because I don't know that they may also hold guys. What if on July 5th a bunch of teams have struck out on Stamkos and now there's a lot of interest in getting Rick Nash? Maybe there's a lot of interest in Derek Stepan. You know, that's a game to play of when you're going to get the best offer. But I do think that they're going to be active. I do think that they're going to make moves. I just don't know when it's going to happen. But if it doesn't happen, we'll have a lot more to talk about next week.
Absolutely. It will be a fun weekend in Buffalo nonetheless. Thanks again to Pat Leonard. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Adam. See you next week.
This has been the Rangers Blue Line Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.